Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Well, yes, I do, actually, and I just did look over at the clock and realize, actually, Maria Heller will be on in just a moment here. Hopefully, I'm trying to add her into the call now, and she should be there in just
a moment. Hello?
Oh, there's
Hello. Maria. Hello, Maria. I'm Roger Lampe, and I really, really wish I had the time to listen to the next hour, because you say such sterling things.
Well, thank you. Well, Chuck always archives the show. That's a blessing.
Yep, and it will be listened to. Thank you very much. And Chuck, why don't you march me out the front door, and I will let you have a discussion with this very intelligent lady who has oh so many things to say that are vital.
Right, and especially because some of my listeners think she has one of the very sexy voices out there in alternative media as well. You know, there it is. I think of her more as like mom, and there's a reason for that, because I think that maybe in another life, I think she was. But here we go. And Roger, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And, you know, we have covered some serious ground, and I want everybody to go look at that article we discussed at The Liberty Beacon. That's all one word, thelibertybeacon.com, and take a look at the great many different points of view about, you know, the panopticon of strangeness that occurred on the planet, and the fight against all sorts of tyranny, not just the physical, not just the chemical, not just the warmongers out there, but also the psychological, which is what we were talking about tonight. And I think that I think we did something interesting here, Roger. So thank you.
Well, it's always fun, and I will talk to you again next week, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you, Roger Landry. And, of course, the privilege I have now is to have Maria Heller, the mouth that roars. And, of course, you can go and find Maria and her archives, her wonderful shows. And, God, Maria, is it 14 years now or is it 15?
Believe it or not, July starts my 16th year on the net.
Wow, 16. I'm sorry. Well, I'm thinking it's been a complete 14. We're into 15 and you'll be starting 16 in July. And this is the thing. I'm entirely tickled to have you on with me. Always, it is sad that I feel as though I need somebody to help me sort through this as I look at the world around me. And of course, we touched upon this in the first hour, and I'm going to continue talking about it because I am seeing a psychological attack, not just on the minority populations like the mainstream wants to explain, but I do believe that this is a serious strike against all of us, and I think for various reasons. And there is an intense reason why I said, what have we learned in the past 50 years? You know, let us turn back to 1965 really quickly, okay? 1965, you had the assassination of Malcolm X. You had the March on Selma. You had, you know, various anti-Vietnam War efforts ramping up in the streets. There was all sorts of civil unrest happening. I believe the riots in Watts started in 65. If they didn't start then, they did certainly happen at that point. All of these things, it makes me shudder and feel like, what is it that we have learned in 50 years? And have we learned anything as a society? Because look at what's going on in Baltimore. Now, I say again that I will point out that, you know, Dr. King codified this perfectly by saying that rioting is the language, okay, of those that are unheard. And I understand that, and I understand that there is a racial component to this that is not illegitimate by any means. But I think that this is a much wider issue that we're seeing played out. And this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the lessons unlearned, the problems unsolved, coming home to roost like those chickens that, Brother Shabazz was talking about before he was silenced. okay? And I know that that sounds like a radical and bizarre statement coming from somebody like me, but I'll be willing to bet that you can help me sort this out a bit, because, as I said, I'm sick inside from watching the repeat of history, in my estimation. How do you see this?
Well, I have said this for the past, God knows, got to be 40 years now. A nation founded on genocide can only end on genocide. And when you look at our leaders, they would like nothing better than to kill us all. That's my opinion after living on this planet and in America for 65 years. You know, when you want to understand what goes on today, you have to go all the way back to where did it start? You know, you had some people lost on the ocean. They come and find a gorgeous country, fabulous people that they said were superhuman, super nice to them, and they slaughtered them all. Bioweapons, you name it. Take out their food supply, take out their pharmacy supply, which the buffalo provided for the Native Americans here. And then when that wasn't enough, let's just drag in as many people as we can from Africa to be our slaves. You know, the militarized police in this country started out keeping slaves in check. That's where police came from. So you look at America and, you know, unlike you, you know, you're talking about 1965. I was 15 years old. The years between 1963 and 1969 were a nightmare to me, starting with Kennedy's assassination, going all the way up to the riots in 68 and every murder and riot in between. And when I look at it now, you know, 50 years later, it's like, what did we learn? We really didn't learn anything, because prophets in this country get murdered. Even if they're musicians, they get murdered. John Lennon, murdered. Martin Luther King, murdered. Malcolm X, murdered. The Kennedy brothers, murdered. So unless people understand the structure of the top of the food chain in this country, they understand the Federal Reserve, they understand the low-life scum of the earth that met at Jekyll Island all those years ago, over 100 years ago, to actually create the destruction of America, the destruction of the American family, the destruction now of all our rights, they will never understand why this keeps happening. It keeps happening because people are putting the pressure in on the wrong people in the wrong places. How's that?
No.
How's that for an opening act?
I could not have said it any better. And like I said, I know I'm going to get crap for this tonight, but I don't care. You know, something needs to be said here. And it's not just a matter of, you know, hey, look, I feel the, you know, the dissatisfaction from individuals who want to say, listen, you know, why is it that, you know, they're burning other people's property? Why are they reacting like this? This is a bad reaction. But here's the thing. I think that, again, this is almost like the steam valve being let off some of the pressure, because this whole thing is ramping up among the general population in one way or another, you know. And of course, they only want to point to the racial incidents.
Of course. Okay? Mainstream media is as corrupt and as guilty as the few provocators that show up at all these events. Most of them don't even live in those neighborhoods, and I have no doubt that somehow or another our government plants them there. And, you know, what's worse, though, Charles? Broken windows or broken backs and broken necks? You know, how much more shit are the American people going to take?
No, that's exactly where I'm at with it. But, you know, but I cannot stand this idea that you know, it's all about the racial incidents. I mean, I saw comments going back and forth on social media earlier, and a mutual friend of ours, Jack Blood, stepped in and said, you know, all of this bandying back and forth about whether it's, you know, whitey's problem in general, okay, that they are actually the evil ones here and everything else, you know, when are people going to understand? And I'm paraphrasing what Jack said, you know, when are people going to understand that's not a matter of what's going on here? I mean, you have a black mayor there, you have, you know, a black president at this point, you have all this kind of thing going on. There are people in power who are of the same alleged, you know, racial separation. I say alleged again because I still don't want to go with the idea of divide and conquer. I hate this constant, you know, pushing of the idea that this is all about race. This is
well, you got to blame the media for that. Okay, the media is only showing you the small amount of people that are going crazy or going wild to incite a race war. They're not showing you the 10,000 plus people of all colors who have been peacefully protesting this past week. See, they are leading everybody around by the nose. Remember, when they can get us to fight on these hot button issues, whether it's racism, gay rights, abortion, at the same time, I said, well, what laws did they pass? And well, nobody's looking. And you know, yesterday, Vermont also got rid of vaccine exemptions while everybody was watching Baltimore. So it's not just California.
Right. And internationally, of course, now we have this tense situation with Iran, right, which also just kind of slipped by while everybody is debating as to whether they should have burned down the CVS, which I've got mixed feelings on in that neighborhood because, you know, the destruction of any mechanism of big pharma is kind of a positive in my mind, you know, although I don't necessarily support violent acts against anyone or anything.
Look, in Europe, when they want to protest, they want to burn a building. They hit the government buildings. So at least they get their targets right.
Right.
But, you know, you have to understand, you know, years ago, one of the first interviews I ever did was with a fabulous man called Craig Hewlett. And he had a couple of books out. He was, I think he was a SEAL, an ex-SEAL. I'm not really sure because it's so long ago, explaining guerrilla warfare. And he said the reason guerrilla warfare can never be won, no matter how many weapons you have, no matter how high-priced your equipment is those people have nothing left to lose. And they fight like they have nothing left to lose. Now let's take a look at not just the people in Baltimore or Ferguson. Let's look at the people across America. Okay, the systematic destruction of the middle class. The demonization and criminalization of being poor in this country.
Right.
How far can you push people before they explode?
Well, yeah, this is exactly the point that I'm coming to is that you know, look, not a matter, again, of race, but this is a socioeconomic problem because how much more are they going to take from us? I mean, you know, personally, I've been in a position recently where, believe me, I'm feeling it again. It's not the first time in my life I have not been in a great position, you know, financially, and I haven't had responsibilities before. I've had them before, and I've had difficulties with them before and everything else, but I know I'm not the only one. This is going on across the board. Everybody seems to be falling a bit. Everybody is under a new kind of pressure because there are virtually no ways out of a lot of things. And here's the problem. If you take it, if you take everything away, okay, and if you impoverish every single corner of this society, what we're going to have is a tinderbox waiting to go up. You know,
absolutely. I mean, listen, we fought a revolution over a tax on tea. Okay. What's America waiting for? I've been saying this for, I don't know, the past two decades. How much more is it going to take? And I have to disagree with you and Jack, and I know Jack won't agree, but I love him anyway. If you look at the statistics, this is also about race. It can't be ignored. Okay, there are more blacks in prison. There are more blacks that get stopped, stop and frisk, walking while black, breathing while black, standing with a broom in your hand while black, being mentally disabled while black. And you see the difference. You know, I put up a poster this morning of 12 ridiculous riots that white people have rioted over and set cities on fire and overturned cars, etc. And it was usually over a ball game. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think of the words of one of my friends back in the, I don't know, must have been the early 70s, who happened to be an African American. And he said to me, Maria, when you're white, you're born right. When you're brown, you're born down. And when you're black, you got to get back. You know, I grew up in East New York in Brooklyn. And at the time, it was primarily black. And I have to tell you that we had less problems with our neighbors than we did when it was white. And, you know, we're kind of white. We're Italian. And I've seen the injustice. I've seen the injustice since I was in elementary school. Okay. It has to totally suck to be black in this country. If you and I think we have it bad, multiply it by 10 because they're guilty just for walking or breathing or driving in their cars. And I mean, how many more of them are going to, you know, this nickel ride that they took this Freddie Gray on? I mean, this is the kind of crap that's been going on forever since I can remember. Mm-hmm. You know, don't strap him in the back of a van and take him for the ride of his life. And oops, we snapped his neck. Too bad, too sad. And I mean, I'm not going to just say that Black Lives Matter, but when you look at the statistics, you cannot take the racist part of it out of it. We have to deal with it. Look, even Ben Affleck didn't want to admit that his forefathers owned slaves, okay? Mm-hmm. But until we admit to our history, nothing is going to change.
Well, no, that's dead on right. And that's where I said I need a little bit of help sorting through this, because my gut reaction is still that this is an element of it. Okay, this is a serious element of it, and it is, you know, not justified, but it's something that can be understood. It's something that needs to be understood, because that's a separate reality. Okay, mm-hmm. That's a whole separate reality. But I look at this on the larger scale and think to myself that, I, you know, maybe it's just me trying too hard here, but I look at it as an attack on all of us, because I don't see a segregation in you know, in society.
Because you were raised that way. My father raised us not to see color either, but he also raised us to see reality around us. And, you know, when you really look at it, I mean, look at all the issues that we're, it's like we're back to the future in this country. We're fighting again for abortion rights. God almighty, we settled that in 1973. And if you think it's hard for a white woman to get an abortion, what about a black woman? What about somebody who's poor? Okay. You got to look at who's the targets here. Who's the targets of payday loans? Who's the targets of subprime lending? Who's the targets of blockbusting? I mean, you know, this is the old story. I've seen it over and over. And like you, believe me, Chuck, it sickens me. You know, where's the love? You know, what happened to the word love? We have all these religious fanatics out there making all these crazy asshole laws based on their imagined God, of which none of them follow. And what about everybody else? You know, 26% of Americans consider themselves nuns, okay? And I don't mean nuns in habits, okay? They don't belong to any organized religion. Where's our representation? You know, where's the women's representation? Why did these Republicans pass over 300 anti-abortion laws? Did they not get the note or the memo on Roe versus Wade? And now the Supreme Court, with six Roman Catholics on it, are left to make the decision whether gay people should get married? I mean, we really are going backwards in time. And when religion ruled before, it was called the Dark Ages.
That's right. But that is what we're coming back to. And that's what that I think is making me hurt more, is that, you know, I guess I was under this delusion that some progress had been made, you know. But when you get right down to the root of things, it really wasn't being made. They basically put a Band-Aid on it and shut everybody up for a little while. You know, I mean, I look back to, again, when they were talking about, you know, the election of our current commander-in-chief, okay, and about how that was, you know, more about trying to quiet down those that felt they weren't being represented. More
yeah, well,
than
what's he
else.
Done? What's he done? He comes out today and he calls these people thugs. It's yeah. obvious which blood in his body he's decided to side with, because he hasn't done a goddamn thing for black Americans since he got in office.
Well, that's right, because it was, again, it was the bait and switch. You know,
there's the other frustration. You know, you talk about elections, Chuck. Our votes don't matter. Okay, we can't change this system by voting these people out, because we didn't vote them in. The Koch brothers have bragged this week they're going to invest $300 million backing Republican candidates because they follow their wacky religious rules for the America they want to see. So when people have nothing left, the vote is a joke, and I've covered that so many times. The vote's a joke. Their representatives don't want to talk to them. Their representatives are walking around with bodyguards to keep them from the people that elected them, supposedly. Yeah. What is left for the people to do?
Well, and that's why I bring up that quote, you know, that those who are being unheard, you know, this is the dangerous time we're entering again.
Right, and how many Americans even know that in 1999 the court ruled that Martin Luther King was killed by the government and a conspiracy? So where did it get Martin Luther King?
Well, Now, okay. See, that's the thing is that, you know, I'm aware of that because I know about what happened in that Memphis courtroom, and I know about all the shenanigans that went on to keep James Earl Ray from getting a retrial so that the truth couldn't even be told.
Okay? Exactly. When you look at the system of justice, which doesn't serve justice ever at all, and you go back in history and you really learn history, which unfortunately no kids today have any clue about, the Constitution was written to protect wealthy white men, landowners. And now we're living in a time where we are ruled by wealthy white men. And I'm, you know, somewhat white, I'm Italian. I kind of like to use that as an excuse not to be clumped in with the rest of the white people. But when you look at it and you see this, you know, what's happening today, 85 families have the majority of, you know, 50% of the wealth in this country. What is everybody else supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Kill each other for a piece of bread?
But that's what it comes down to, and trust me, I totally understand the idea of always identifying myself as Italian, and in fact Sicilian specifically, to separate myself a little bit from the white herd.
Well, I try to keep the Sicilian part down because she's very violent. She's very violent. I want to keep her quiet. But I did go Sicilian on one of my shows last week, and my audience seemed to like it. But I needed like a Valium after the show. Of course, I don't do drugs, so I hit the gym instead.
You had to work out that that excess energy.
Well, you know, a lot of people have no idea. You know, I mean, women didn't get the vote in this country until after black male slaves did. Okay, this country's been screwed from day one. And when you look at us meddling in foreign affairs, selling off all our jobs, I have to tell you this. I don't know if you got to read it, but you really should. I mean, I must have posted it 10 times. The people were settled in place at the Orioles game while the riots were going on in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And they had interviewed the executive vice president of the Orioles baseball team, John Angelos, who I'm going to assume is Italian. Because his father's Peter Angelos, you really can't get much more Italian names than that. Right. And they were asking him, while the people were asked to stay inside the stadium, what he thought of what was going on outside. Did you read what he had to say?
I can't recall it off the top of my head.
I'm going to read it. It's only two paragraphs, but it's excellent. It's the answer to every question you've just asked.
Great.
He says, and it was printed in USA Today, but I got it off freethoughtproject.com. I like to give them a little plug there. He said, speaking only for myself, I agree with your point that the principle of peaceful nonviolent protest and the observance of the rule of law is of utmost importance in any society. MLK, Gandhi, Mandela, all great opposition leaders throughout history have always preached this precept. He said, further, it's critical that in any democracy, investigation must be completed and due process must be honored before any government or police members are judged responsible. That said, my greater source of personal concern, outrage and sympathy beyond this particular case is focused neither upon one night's property damage nor upon the acts, but is focused rather upon the past four-decade period during which an American political elite have shipped middle-class and working-class jobs away from Baltimore and cities and towns around the United States to third-world dictatorships like China and others, plunged tens of millions of good, hard-working Americans into economic devastation, and then followed that action around the nation by diminishing every American civil rights protections in order to control an unfairly impoverished population living under an ever-declining standard of living and suffering at the butt end of an ever more militarized and aggressive surveillance state. The innocent working families of all backgrounds whose lives and dreams have been cut short by excessive violence, surveillance, and other abuses of the Bill of Rights by government pay the true price, an ultimate price, and one that far exceeds the importance of any kid's game played tonight or ever at Camden Yards. We need to keep in mind people are suffering and dying around the United States, and while we're thankful no one was injured at Camden Yards, there's a far bigger picture for poor Americans in Baltimore and everywhere who don't have jobs and are losing economic, civil, and legal rights, and this makes inconvenience at a ball game irrelevant in light of the needless suffering government is inflicting upon ordinary Americans. He said it all. That's perfect. It's perfection.
I was just going to say there is absolutely no way I could improve upon that statement. That is precisely the answer. You know, this is the reality. He actually, I don't know who this guy, I had never even heard of this guy.
Well, I love him now. He's the executive vice president of the Baltimore Orioles baseball team, son of the Orioles owner, Peter Angelos.
Wow.
And that's his name, John P. Angelos, which I'm sure P stands for Peter, because you know Italians always middle name their kid after their father.
Yeah, one way or another, you're named after somebody.
Right.
That's the way that goes.
When I saw that and I read that, I posted it everywhere because it's perfection.
Yeah.
You're not going to hear anything like this coming out of the mouth of Barack Obama. It's not going to happen. Or Loretta Lynch, who thinks that her first job is going to be to boost police morale when she gets into office.
Yeah, well, and that was the thing. The sad thing is everybody waiting, you know, on the edge of their seats for Barack Obama to come out and make a statement as if this was going to be anything of significance other than, you know, the loss of life and the loss of property is, you know, tragic and we don't need to increase the tragedy. And
how many more young men are going to be murdered? Young women. They don't even cover the black women that are getting murdered, the young girls that are getting murdered by cops because, after all, you know, they're black women. And as John Lennon sang in the 60s, woman is the nigger of the world. So nobody even pays attention to that. But how many more of children? You know, listen, sooner or later, they're coming for all of us. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what socioeconomic class you're in. Unless you're in that top 0.1%, you've got no protection. So if you don't stand up now for every injustice in the country, you might as well lay down and don't bother getting up again because they will come for all of us, just like these forced vaccines. It's just the beginning. So we all have to sign petitions. We've got to say, okay, no immunity for the big pharmaceutical companies then. No immunity for the doctor that injects your child with that filth. Okay, but listen, Americans just want to sit back and chit-chat and text each other. You know, I heard of two teenagers that are friends of my granddaughters this week that died in car accidents texting, okay? So while they're all being mesmerized by Brave New World Selma, which seems to be their gadgets, these kids have no idea of the hellish future that they're going to be living in if they don't put their gadgets down and start getting involved. Because you know what? My generation already fought these fights. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, we already fought this battle and won it. And it took us 20 years. And now they're bringing back the same crap over and over.
Well, that's the thing. Without vigilance, this is what happens, right? The enemy troops will continue to advance unless you stand guard. I mean, this is military tactics 101. This is the way this works. And on a psychological level, this is what has gone on.
Thomas Jefferson, who was probably one of our best presidents ever, the only guy that seemed to have vision, he said that in order to keep this republic, we would have to have a bloody revolution every 25 years. You know, they didn't put the Second Amendment in their papers by accident, okay? I was thinking about people in Baltimore who were probably scared shit while they shelter in place. And the fact that Second Amendment doesn't apply in Baltimore, they don't have the right to have weapons to protect their own homes. Yeah. How's that working out?
Yeah, it's damn near impossible to have a weapon in a city like Baltimore. You know, and here we go again. As I said at the top of the show, I would love to see a world where this was not necessary. I really would.
It would have to be another planet because, you know what, I pray to God that humans are not allowed ever to land on another planet and try to seed another planet because they'll only destroy yet another planet. Look at Fukushima. Look at the radiation. Hundreds of millions of sea creatures dead on the Pacific. Nobody wants to talk about it. They said it's going to take centuries to try to cement in Fukushima while it still spews all around the planet. And I've actually had people tell me, Maria, but that radiation doesn't travel. I said, but how stupid are you, okay? That volcano that just exploded in Chile shut down airports in other countries because of the smoke that travels. The world's a circle. You don't need to be a scientist to get that things travel around a circle. We're all being radiated at the speed of light. And nobody wants to talk about that either. Humans truly, I wonder sometimes, do they even deserve this planet? Because all we've done is destroy it. And by sense, what goes on in the planet affects all our human psyche because we're connected to every living thing. Every eagle that falls out of the sky, every cow that's slaughtered to feed somebody's diabetes or heart disease, we feel it on an energetic level. We're connected to everything alive. There's no way we can separate feeling the kids in Japan who are coming down with thyroid cancer at the speed of light. It affects all of us. How many prophets have said for years and centuries, we are all one, we're all connected? Well, doesn't look it.
Well, nobody wants to take that into consideration. You see, that's the thing, and this is why I guess I'm more sickened, because it's almost like it's being played out in front of me, and I'm quite helpless to get anyone to understand that we all need to be able to unify as opposed to being separated, as opposed to being classed out, as opposed to being racially divided, as opposed to being, you know, separated by, you know, alleged idealism, as opposed to, you know, the non-secular separations of, well, I believe in this particular invisible man, well, I believe in this particular invisible man, and therefore, you know, we can't get along. And all of this just comes to like a useless head, in my opinion.
Well, first of all, you should never say that you're helpless and that you can't do anything, because you already are doing something.
No, it just feels helpless. Because,
well, but that's how they want you to feel, all right? So you need to pump up your Sicilian blood a little bit more and become an ass kicker and not an ass kisser, okay? Because I never feel helpless, ever, okay? I'm a fighter. I came in this world this way. I'm probably going out the same way. I still do my show. I still talk to everybody on the street, everybody in the gym, my doctors, anybody that's willing to listen. You know, sooner or later, we will get mass consciousness. I think we're going to see it happen sooner than later, just out of the level of disgust that most Americans are going through. And when that day comes, man, there's nothing that's going to be able to save any government on earth. Believe me, there couldn't be a more violent nature than the American citizen. Okay, and we've been pushed as far as we can go. This TPP that they want to rush through, that will end our sovereignty. How many Americans even know about it or give a damn about it? Okay, I talk to everybody I know about it. You have any idea that this is happening? I keep doing my show. It's a lot of work. Yes, it's many years. I was young when I started that show. Okay, I thought I'd do it for fun. I'm still doing it. Why? Because when I look at what the mainstream media is putting out there, somebody has to tell the truth. And it might as well be me. Remember that Gandhi said, you change this world one person at a time. You want to change the world? You change yourself. Stop participating in their games. Don't bother to go and vote. Your vote, you might as well wipe your butt with it, okay? Mm-hmm. Stop participating in their game. Stop playing the, I hate you because you're gay, I hate you because you're a different color, blah, 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 blah. You know, John Lennon said, if you wanted to have peace, it's easy. Just put a sign in your window that says peace. It's that easy. Break the programming. Everybody's so stuck on their programming. You know, well, my parents were Republican, so I'm a Republican. My kids are going to be a Republican. That's just ignorance talking. You know, your parents were Catholic. You're going to be a Catholic. You're going to die a Catholic. I mean, what do you even know about it? I mean, most people I argue religion with have never even read their religious books. And I'm like, don't argue the Bible with me if you never even opened it, moron, because I opened it. I read it.
That sounds exactly like the conversations I have all the time. And I knew that you could help me straighten this out. It's just that every once in a while, I've got to be honest with you, is that sometimes a weight comes on me.
I understand, but giving up is not an option. Quitting is not an option.
No, surrender is not something I understand.
Right. I know about you, but I didn't come to this planet to lose. Okay? There's a war on for the human race. Okay? The people that run this world, I doubt any of them are human. Okay? They don't have any semblance of humanity to them. You know, I don't know whether they're cloned, whether they're inbred too many times, what their problem is. But I know that not a one of them is going to take me down as long as I can still breathe and I can still talk.
Well, you know, that is the point of what I do, and I'm not going to give in to this.
Well, then don't ever say you're helpless. Don't ever say there's nothing you can do because you're doing it. And we do this with very little support, very little fanfare. Because we do it for the right reason, okay?
Right.
You do it for your own soul. That's what I like to tell people. I do what I do for me, If somebody else benefits from it, great. But I do it because I must.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I'm compelled at this point. I don't really have a choice. This is the best way that I know to try and reach out to people, to try and get them to at least break the programming, as you said, because that is the worst part of this, is that we're watching the repeat again of these things that, you know, were preordained a long time ago. And as you said, and as you take it all the way back to, you know, to the real initiation of this, which was, you know, if the foundation is no good, the house doesn't stand so well. You know, it doesn't matter how pretty it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the foundation, if you are founded in blood, so shall the house wind up returning. You know, this is the way it's going to go. But
yeah, there's never been any real apologies. There's never any admission of guilt on our country's part. You know, when you get famous movie stars that don't even want to admit that their, you know, forefathers were slave owners, I mean, it's never going to change. Just admit, you were an idiot, your forefathers were idiots, they were savage beasts that believed slavery was okay because they read it in the Bible, and after all, if it's in the Bible, it must be true. Well, the Bible also says to love your neighbor. I guess they ignore that one, and that God is love. Where's the love? That's all I want to know, is where's the love?
No, the question I keep asking is, you know, when they tell you to act as, you know, as Jesus does, I wonder where all of this, you know, where all of those acts come from that, you know, that they justify in all these different ways. I don't see Jesus holding slaves. I don't see Jesus justifying murder. I don't see Jesus justifying the oppression of entire populations of people. I don't see him supporting the, you know, sorry to bring it up, but I don't see him supporting the bankers that were having control over things at that point, money lenders, you know, kind of got himself in trouble, actually, for directly confronting those people.
He also confronted the religion of his time. He questioned the rabbis, even though he was the fulfillment of their prophecy, their Messiah. As soon as he said, I'm here to change the way you guys do things, he was nailed to a cross. All right, and people say, "Oh, the second coming of Christ." I wouldn't come back if I was him. Would you? They'd kill him even quicker today. Think about it: long-haired, dark-skinned Arab wearing sandals and a robe, terrorist, Bin Laden's brother. Boom! Let's kill him.
Well, and I'm sorry to do this, but I always find a catharsis in humor. And the thing is that Sam Kinison, when talking about the second coming of Christ, said, you know, when people are probably asking Jesus up in heaven if he's ever going to come back again, he says, yeah, let him know I'll be there as soon as I can play the piano again.
Eat M&M's again.
Yeah, that too. You know, that's where it comes down to, right? I mean, is that, you know...
Look, everybody talks the talk, no matter what religion they are.
Right.
Okay. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the talk. Imagine if everybody actually lived the beautiful tenets of their religions. We would have had peace on earth a long time ago. Everybody wants to fight over Jerusalem. Who's going to own Jerusalem? Is it going to be the Jews? Is it going to be the Catholics? Is it going to be the Zionists? Is it going to be these Christian conservatives? I don't know. The only Jerusalem that I ever read about that meant a shit in the Bible was the heavenly Jerusalem. Not the physical Jerusalem, but, you know, unfortunately their rapture doesn't come quick enough, because imagine the world if their rapture actually came and we could all be free of them.
Oh, yeah, I got myself in trouble with somebody who was a heavily Christian broadcaster when they had me on as a guest. I said, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the rapture couldn't come quickly enough. And they said, what do you mean by that? You're not a Christian. I said, well, it would definitely get rid of a lot of these people that believe in the rapture real fast. So I'd love to see it happen. And he didn't quite get the joke.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess maybe... Maybe he wasn't a fan of Jim Jones. You know, he took people to their rapture, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's in such a hurry to get a reward after death. How about trying to be a decent human being while you're here on the planet? Do something good for somebody else, you know. Don't criminalize homeless people. You know, don't give somebody a $2,000 ticket for feeding the homeless. Jesus was homeless, as far as I can remember.
Well, not only
I mean,
that.
Everything is ass backwards in this country, and yet the majority of people still refuse to see it. I'm sure you see all the hateful, racist posts about Baltimore all over social media.
Yeah, something else I keep trying to ignore, but doesn't quite leave me alone. Yeah, of course.
Well, you know, ignorance mixed with white privilege, mixed with fear, mixed with religion, and mixed with rah-rah, sis-boom-bah for the cops until the cops kill somebody in their family, and it will happen sooner or later.
Well, yeah, and that to me is the larger issue, of course, because, you know, if this is permissible there, you know, it'll be permissible everywhere. This is what's going on. This has not slowed down, especially in the past year. You know, how long do we actually go in between one of these things becoming public? You know, and that's the things that they caught on video, mind you. Okay, how many of these things do you think are not being caught on video?
Of course. Well, what actually changed after Ferguson? Did the judicial system change? Did the cops' behavior change? Nothing changed, and now they killed this kid. And how many other people in between? It's like every day I must have at least 20 cop shooting stories to report on social media. I pick and choose which ones I actually want to cover on my show because there's so many of them. I don't want it to just be a bad cop news show.
Well, right. I mean, even while the smoke was still rising up from Baltimore, weren't we already seeing and hearing about the situation in Michigan, right? You know, another one and another one. And, you know, meanwhile, that kid was killed in, what, Florida, right?
Right. So why is it so much different when a cop gets killed? You know, doesn't their good book tell them eye for an eye? Isn't that also in their good book, eye for an eye? If you treat people like animals, why are you surprised when they treat you like an animal? If the cops aren't going to observe the law, then what makes them any different than me and you? Just because they're wearing a friggin' suit and a badge? They're criminals. If they're going to act like criminals, they should be treated like criminals. But then you get prosecutors and the rest of the criminals in the injustice system that let them off with a slap on their wrist, if that. And why wouldn't then the general population get pissed off?
Oh, right. I mean, even in that situation in South Carolina, right? I mean, this guy... but again, it's every week, right? I mean, there's not
it's
even
every
a week.
Day. It's not even every week. There's a great website, policemisconduct.net. You can read every day. He posts all the murders and horrors of the cops.
That's
every day.
Policemisconduct.net.
Yeah, guy does a great job. I have him send me his email post every day when he puts up a new list. And I try to cover as many as I can on my show. But, you know, on my show, I got to cover about 1,000 different news stories in an hour and a half.
Yeah, you go at it rapid fire, I know. But this obviously is part of the discussion because this is part of the reality that we're confronted with, right?
The reality is if you're listening to the show and you've got children, you've got grandchildren, wake the hell up because your kids are going to say to you, what were you doing when this country burned? What were you doing that I'm stuck in a prison country now? Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you speak out? Why didn't you do something? They're not going to want to hear you were sitting back, you know, kicking back with a beer, watching American Idolatry, okay? These are the times where character is built. These are the times that truly test a person's soul. And as I've said it, I'm sure, before, you're probably sick of hearing it, Chuck. Our founding fathers say it's our duty, not our choice, your duty to be an informed citizen. They didn't say if you feel like it or after your next TV show.
Right, or just skip it on Sundays when football's on, nothing like that. No, it actually is something that you have to, that's the thing, remain vigilant.
Exactly. Don't impress me by going to church on Sunday, okay? Live your religion every day, 24 hours a day, then I'll be impressed. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see it. Where's the love? Okay? Didn't the Beatles sing all those years ago, love is all you need?
That's true. And I'm often fond of saying, you know, I'd love to see a lot less Christians and a lot more people Christ-like, you know, because based on that story, I don't know, he wasn't a bad guy. And if you're supposed to follow in his footsteps and you're supposed to, you know, be led by that example, you know, I'd love to see that happen. I don't
Look,
see it.
Christ, first of all, he went into the churches and he overturned the money changers' tables. That right. wasn't the only reason. They were also selling animals in there. So he was also an animal rights activist. He cleared that church and he trashed everything. He wasn't a pacifist. He wasn't the pussy that they present him as. Okay? He went in the face of the kings. He went in the face of the rabbis at the time. He protected prostitutes. He said, bring the children to me. Don't ignore the children, okay? Feed the poor. Love one another, okay? Where is that example shown in any of these people that are, you know, ruling over us with their good book in their hand? I think about what one of the Native American chiefs said about when the white man landed in America. He said, first they landed with their good book in their hand. First they fell on their knees, and then they fell on the Indians.
Mm. And you can't argue with that statement in any way, shape, or form.
No, look at these Native American actors that stormed out of Adam Sandler's movie. Rightfully so. Okay? I mean, I like Adam Sandler. I like most of his movies, even though some of them are pretty moronic.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't want to be in that movie at the depiction. I mean, I read why they walked off. I would have walked off, too, but I probably would have slapped him in the face a few times first. Why doesn't he make a funny movie about a Holocaust? Because he's a Jew?
Mm. Yeah, well, that's not going to happen, right? I mean, Jerry Lewis tried doing something like that once, you know, and they hid that, you know, but you know that whole story, right? The clown and the cop.
I actually met Jerry Lewis in person.
Ah.
Remember when he used to do his telethons in New York?
Yes.
My sister and I manned the phones for 24 hours there.
Oh, wow.
We were young kids, we were teenagers, and I was surprised by how handsome he was in person.
Well, that was before the steroids and the sort of, you know.
Well, you know, it was very sickly. What people didn't know, and I'm talking about, Jesus, it's got to be when I was about 16, Chuck. So what people didn't know is he was always very sick. They had a hospital room set up for him off stage with an oxygen tent set up on it. And every time he went off the stage, they put him under that oxygen tent.
Mm.
So he still kept going, you know, which was a miracle. And he wasn't that old then. I want to say he was probably in his 40s.
Yeah, no, by that time he wasn't that old. But you do know the story about him trying to make that film, and then they buried it. this clown in a concentration camp. You ever heard that story?
No.
But look it up. It's one of those, like, you know, you have to, like, know trivia to know about it. And I used to know some people that were intensely into films, and this was one of the things that they, you know, one of the, like, holy grails of finding a film was to try and find a copy of this thing. But he tried to do that, and they totally got rid of that because it was, you know.
Right, but now, you know, you got Vanilla Ice defending Adam Sandler, saying, hey, it's just a movie, it's just a comedy, why are they taking it so personal? Well, read Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee and see if you wouldn't take it personal. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I listen to what comes out of the mouths of some of these people, and I'm like, you know what? You're just an actor, somebody who makes a living pretending to be someone you're not. Shut your mouth when it comes to politics. You don't know what you're talking about, and go away. Keep making your happy little clown movies.
Oh, right. You know, keep doing stupid stuff and making stupid voices and stupid faces and things, because that's what you're good at.
Right. I mean, I don't really care to hear what a lot of these people have to say about, you know, Obama or what's going on politically, because they don't know what they're talking about, you know. You know, you got to have something psychologically a little off to want to be an actor or a comedian, because you can't be yourself. And I'm not saying I don't appreciate them, because I love movies and I love comedians. But, you know, stick to what you know. Otherwise, shut up. You brought out all my Sicilian in less than an hour. I can't believe it.
Well, what can I say?
I don't know. I try to stay cool and calm, although I did get quite a few good reviews on my Monday show. People are saying, your blasted news shows are like the best news shows out there.
Right. And
throw in a lot of humor, because without humor and sarcasm, even I couldn't take the ridiculousness that's going on.
Well, you know, that's what I meant about that weight that sometimes comes on me, because I look at these things and I have empathy. You know, this isn't a TV show. These are human beings. You know what I'm saying? This isn't a clown show. This isn't one of Adam Sandler's movies. This isn't one of these things. This is real people. This is real time. This is real stuff happening. These are real.
We've been desensitized. TV desensitizes us. I won't watch any CSI, any pro-cop shows, anything that glorifies cops or prisons. Not interested, because I know that's another way of mind controlling us, to think, oh, they're going to save us. They're going to save us. Who's going to save us from them? There's the question of the day.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Only a couple of weeks ago, and I made note of this on this show, but a couple of weeks ago, somebody made me watch a Law & Order show, one of those SVU shows, where they just completely did a whole program about the evil people that won't vaccinate their children. And, you know, gee, that's right on time with what's going on.
Right.
You know, like, that's not part of the agenda.
It's
like
all mind control.
Yeah. And it's just selling the idea that, you know, not only is it dangerous for everybody else, you know, when your kids aren't vaccinated, but there are children. I mean, the one of the main characters ends up with an adopted baby who winds up very, very ill because they couldn't be vaccinated yet. And it's all the fault of these parents that irresponsibly
right.
because of.
But if the parents of the kids that did get vaccinated and their kids get sick from kids that aren't vaccinated, doesn't that prove that the vaccine doesn't work?
Well, you know, that's what I would think, and that's the logical answer. But, of course, that program, this is the horror that I went through watching this thing, was, of course, well, there are some kids with compromised immune systems, and you're killing them because they can't be vaccinated because of their compromised immune systems.
Their immune systems are compromised because they've been vaccinated, because they've been fed genetically modified food, because their parents who might be breastfeeding them fire retardant materials through their breasts.
Right. This is never
taken. Look at how ignorant people are, and when it comes to the vaccine issue, I was. By the way, the measles outbreak is now totally gone, like the Ebola outbreak. Now let's take a look at that. I was thinking about this in my spare time, in my privacy of my mind yesterday. 135 kids in Disney got the measles, and another 22. So let's just round it off to 150 kids. 150 kids with the measles that never killed anybody when I was a kid with no shot. Mm-hmm. 150 kids, now they want to pass laws to immunize 350 million Americans because 150 kids got the measles. Okay?
Right.
I would hardly call 150 of anything an epidemic to be worried about. 20,000 Americans die every year from the flu.
Hmm. Well, you're supposed to get your flu shots, too, Maria.
But they don't work.
I didn't say right? they worked. I said you're supposed to get them.
GlaxoSmithKline just paid out, I think it was $63 or $69 million for swine flu vaccine damaged kids, 800 kids, $63 million in the UK from their vaccine.
Mm-hmm. And this is another point. I mean...
But here you can't sue Big Pharma here. They have immunity. So if they kill your kid like they did that baby a couple of weeks ago, 13 shots at once, 3 days later, dead baby, you can't sue Big Pharma. They have immunity. Well, if they believe in their crap so well, then they shouldn't have immunity.
Well, that's the other thing. Plus, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, state for a moment that maybe the science works, okay? Let's try that for just a second. You know, they've been giving these MMR vaccines since I was a baby, okay? Mm-hmm. So now I'm in my 40s. Why aren't those diseases eradicated?
They don't want to eradicate disease. They create the disease. They inject you with it. The king of the proof positive of the bullshit of MMR and that it does create childhood disease, especially autism, was Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who I had the thrill of interviewing. I still have that interview in my archives. Before people rip him to shreds, read his book. Read the information. Study the material. Don't believe Dr. Oz over Dr. Wakefield.
Yeah. Yeah, well, finally, somebody's taken him to task, but I mean, you know.
Well, look at him. He's a snake oil salesman. He was used to promote GMO foods. Now, all of a sudden, he's saying no. And yet, Kevin Trudeau's got 10-year sentence over a book because he said his diet was easy. 10 years for Kevin Trudeau, and Dr. Oz rolls in the dough while he sells people bogus snake oil diets. Think he might be part of the favored elite?
Well, see, now that's what I was going to say, is that, you know, when you have the privilege, you know, they used to say, I mean, I used to hear this because I didn't grow up in all white neighborhoods or anything, but when you got the complexion for the connection combined with other connections, well, you know, you get a little bit of perfection when it comes to your life. You know what I'm saying? This is the reality.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I hear you, bro. All I know is that I think it was I'm pretty sure it was 2 years ago. Every beginning of the year, Jack Blood and I, do a prediction show. Mm-hmm. And although Jack thinks he has no psychic ability whatsoever, man, I've got to tell you, sometimes Jack's like dead on. And I had told him when he asked me this year, he says, what do you see for America this year? I said, I see this country on fire from one end to the other. And isn't that exactly what we're seeing? And the year has just begun.
Yeah, we're only just through what the first quarter is over. We are into the second quarter of the year, you know, and we're already seeing this eruption. And yeah, I knew about that prediction of yours. I was thinking about that actually when I first saw these these videos coming out of Baltimore that you had kind of already said this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of people would have said, well, that was easy to sort of discern because at the time of the year change, you know, blah, blah, blah. But no, nobody foresaw this happening in Baltimore. Okay.
Look, I can also tell you that sooner or later, it'll be open season on the cops. There's another prediction. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's changed in 50 years on the way cops treat Americans, except worse. So sooner or later, it'll be open season. And then what happens next? It'll be martial law all the way.
Because it'll finally give them the excuse. They got the problem, they get the reaction, and here's the solution.
They militarized the police across the country for no good reason. It wasn't because they had extra or excess military weapons. Let's just give them to the cops.
Right.
They knew when they crashed this economy, sooner or later, America's turning on them, and it's going to get downright ugly.
Absolutely. And listen, before my bumper kicks in and we have to end this discussion on that note, I want to remind everybody that you need to go to Meria.net, which is actually spelled Meria.net, and hear The Mouth That Roars for yourself. There's a couple of free shows there usually. You can check those out. And then, of course, there's the subscribe option and all that. And I would tell you that that Maria is one of the biggest influences on what it is that I do, and I'm glad that you were here to kind of straighten me out a little bit.
Okay, if you were in person, I would have shook you. I would have shook you and slapped you down.
It's okay. I need that every once in a while. And again,
I would have slapped the smart back into you.
You'd be one of the few people who could, and I appreciate it. Believe me. I'll give the closing thought to you, but I want to thank everybody who tuned in tonight for the Ocelli Effect at ucy.tv/TOE. Of course, you can go there and you can catch the archives and things like that. Hopefully, you'll be catching this further downstream. If you are, you can also go there and every once in a while throw something into the donate button if you want. That's always helpful and nice. But I just appreciate that you've given us the time to go through this and have this discussion. But Maria, anything else you want to kind of add on your way out the door?
One thing I'm going to tell people is really learn your history and choose non-participation. As long as you keep going along to get along, nothing is going to change.
That is the truth. And, of course, we did talk about Mahatma Gandhi. And if you want to study his actions and exactly how it is he did things, you know, it is not a coward that chooses nonviolence, by the way. Violence is a reality, but it is also a choice, okay? There are many ways to resist what is around us. There are many ways to resist the programming. And hopefully, you will find your own personal path to do so. If each of us does, there won't be much left to rule for those that seek to rule us. And that is what the bottom line is, as far as I'm concerned. And Maria, again, thank you. And I want to thank my first hour guest, Roger Landry. I do appreciate this. And hopefully, you don't have to spend too much time at the gym tonight to run off the energy you picked up on this one.
I already went before the show.
Okay, good. Well, I love you, and I'm very, very happy that you're always, that you're always so gracious to come on with me. I feel extremely privileged and honored to have you on with me, Maria. So,
well, you keep going, and you keep kicking ass and taking names.
That is what we are going to try to do, and that bumper should be kicking in just about any moment. I do know my clock is a little bit off, guys, but let's see now.
How much longer?
Less than a minute. It should be. It should be. Maybe it's not.
Maybe you can sing us a tune.
I could try it.
Solo, we can't hear you.
Yeah, well, since the throat operation, that might be a good idea. I should whisper to everyone. But anyway, again, thanks to everybody. I'm going to go to the next one.
I'm gonna go to the store.